Do you have those questions?
I have some, Swamiji.
I think Swamiji is going to be getting into some of this in the Vedanta Sara.
Yeah, yeah.
But these are the questions that Swamiji wants to...
Yeah, I will see.
Okay.
I see the questions.
The first one set is about Ishvara again. Sometimes Swamiji uses the phrase for Ishvara, manifest knowledge.
Mm.
Other times Swamiji used to talk upadana karana, nimitta karana. So could Swamiji...
It's all the same.
But could Swamiji just elaborate?
No, yeah. See, when you say the maker and material cause, it is based upon the usual karana-karya understanding. People have cause-effect understanding. Like a pot maker. So mere pot maker cannot make a pot. And clay itself cannot make itself into a pot. Clay has to be in the hands of a pot maker. The pot maker without clay also cannot make a pot. Therefore, you need two causes for making a pot. One is maker and the material. This is the general understanding. And now, first we present this for Ishvara. Maker and material. Then, is there a separation between the maker and the material? We raise a question. Then we say there is no separation here, for which we give an example, the dreamer and the dreamt world. The Upanishad gives an example of spider and web. But we give this example of, I give the example of the dreamer and the dreamt world. So the dreamer is the one who makes the dream world. He is a conscious being who has got knowledge and has got power to make the dream world. Otherwise he can't make it. And then the dream world is also from the maker. Any material is required for making the dream world is only found in the maker. Therefore, maker and the material cause are one and the same. You say this. If you give a spider and the other example for maker and the material cause being one and the same, that example is over. This is one level of understanding Ishvara. This Ishvara understanding is not enough, really, because it'll be away from you, that Ishvara is still away from you. But that's not the truth. But we try to bring Ishvara closer by including, by my body, mind, sense complex as a part of the Jagat. And once that is included, Ishvara has come closer. Still, Ishvara is the material cause for the Jagat. Then the material is always taken as something insentient. Therefore, there is sentient, insentient division is a very big division in Visishtadvaitam, in all this. In Dvaitam is very big. Chidjada, Veda. So this is a Veda, this is the big problem. In all theologies also, it has got all of them theologies only. Our own theologies are there. So you need not go outside India for theology. We have got enough theology. We have got enough theologies and their followers also, and very vociferous, vocal followers. And therefore, this, when you say material cause, what do you mean? One more question we have to ask. My dream example is a dream example. You can't get an example like that. You have to dream for such an example. Bhagavan ne diya hai. It's a blessing, that example. Because in the dream, the material cause for the dream world is nothing but your knowledge. Your knowledge is manifest in the form of jagat. Because you have got knowledge of trees, knowledge of mountains, knowledge of clouds, knowledge of birds, and then you have that knowledge manifesting in that form. If you don't have that knowledge, there will be no manifestation. Tad aikshata, tad asrijata. The Upanishad makes it very clear. Satapo atapyata, jnanamayam tapaha. Knowledge. Therefore, it is unmanifest knowledge, undifferentiated knowledge, as though differentiated. Differentiated for us to recognize one from the distinct from the other. Therefore, there you get sentient, insentient, because of sukma sharira, sthula sharira, sentient, insentient. That which has no sukshma is insentient. That which has sukshma is sentient. Like in the dream, there is a mountain rat. Whereas the mountain animal is sentient and the mountain is insentient. But both of them are objects of my knowledge, non-separate from consciousness. Therefore, there is no achetana. There is no chetana-achetana-veda. For Dvaita, that is the problem. Chetana-achetana-veda. There is no achetana. There is the presence of sukshma and absence of sukshma. The mountain doesn't have sukshma-sharira. And the mountain lion has got sukshma-sharira. Correct? So that's the difference, sentient and insentient is there. But the basis is different. It is not consciousness and other than consciousness is jadam. There is no such thing. Therefore it's so important to present Ishvara. Ishvara's all knowledge alone is this jagat. And also analysis of the jagat as mithya implies naturally understanding of nama-rupa, which is reduced to further nama-rupa. If you take one nama-rupa, and then it is reduced to so many other names, Namni, Namani. Only Nama is there. Shirt, if you take, shirt is a name and a form. Shirt is a word and a form, the meaning. That's in your head. It's not outside, really. It's right in your head only, in the form of knowledge. Then whenever you see such a form, you call it shirt. But then you can't think of that shirt independent of fabric. You can't even think. That is what we call nama. You can't imagine. What is the big deal? There is a shirt. We say there is a shirt and there is no shirt. They can't think of it. You can't think of it without thinking of another. But whereas you can think of fabric without thinking of shirt, Therefore, fabric becomes satyam. Shirt is only name with a meaning. In the beginning there was word and the word was with God. This is what I give the meaning for life. Then afterwards, then the fabric becomes satyam. And that, suppose you say satyam, atma, tatvamasi, then you have to say I am fabric. No, the fabric also is put together. It is also put together, it is name and form. Because yon is satyam. Therefore fabric is just another name, another word. You can't think of fabric without yon. Therefore, yarn you can't think of without the fibers. So that means what you cannot think of without the presence of what? And that is mithya. And that satyam is the one without which you can't think of the other. And that is satyam. That is only self-evident being. So for satyam mithya understanding, it is so important to point out Ishvara is nothing but all knowledge which is manifest in the form of Jagat, which is Namarupa. The beauty is the knowledge. And each name has got its own something, function, etc. This includes laws in all actions, and means, ends, causes, effects. Within that. That's what we understand. Then I reduce it to order, Ishvara. That all knowledge manifesting is available for our understanding. Otherwise, how will you know all knowledge? All knowledge we cannot know. Unless you have all knowledge, you cannot understand what is all knowledge. Therefore, all knowledge I reduce to just orders, a few orders. Adequate orders for us to understand all. So we are within the order. So we can get to see what is Adhishthana Devatas, what is everything. So beautiful.
Swamiji, even though we can't have a perception of infinite manifest knowledge, and we require Shruti Pramana for that, still, in this moment of Swamiji's perception of the world, is the Ishwaratvam of the world, of this perception that you're having right now, direct immediate knowledge, or is it...
It's knowledge.
What kind of knowledge? Like for Swamiji.
There are two types of sarvajñatva.
Yeah.
One is general, reality-wise, the other is detail-wise. So here also the sarvajñatva is in terms of order and all that, so we can understand Ishvara. Then in terms of details of the whole thing, that is what every discipline of knowledge is going into. There is biology, there is physiology, it's endless. And that is what they are trying to get the details of Ishvara.
What I mean, Swamiji, is for Swamiji...
Therefore, you are in the presence of, your awareness of the presence of Ishvara is in terms of the total, samashti. That's all what you want. Mana bhava, madbhakto bhava, mam yaji, mam namaskuru. All these vatyas are only asking for our awareness in terms of the total. That vibhuti, Bhagavad vibhuti, the 10th chapter, Gita.
Yeah. Let me ask in a different way, Swamiji, because my question is not that clear.
Yeah.
If Swamiji says, there is nothing here but Brahman, this is only Brahman, I am the whole. I am the whole. Mm. What type of knowledge is that?
That is aparoksha.
when Swamiji says, I am the whole, looking out at all of these...
Subject-object is whole. At any one thing, the wholeness is only subject-object. There is no other wholeness.
So in Swamiji's experience saying right now, I am the whole, could you break down that internal experience that allows Swamiji to say that?
You break down the subject being non-separate from the self-evident consciousness, and object also is non-separate from the self-evident consciousness, which is Satchit.
Would Swamiji say that's aparoksha jnanam because there's no dehatma buddhi?
Yeah.
If the dehatma buddhi is not there, then there's nothing separating your self-experience from any perception.
I mean, that's another way of saying, yeah, that's okay. But so suppose you look at even the deha, it can be the same. If you look at the deha, focus, any one focus implies subject-object. And the subject-object, both are one and the same. And the subject and the object are not negated, but they are, they draw their being from what is self-revealing consciousness, Atma. So there, that is the whole.
There's a logical jump that I'm trying to get at there, and it's this. In terms of the vritti, it's very clear that the vritti comes from me, is sustained by me, resolves into me, is nothing but me. The mityatva, all of the aspects of the vritti is mitya, and having me as its being is clear. It's aparoksha jnanam, it's the logic, the experiential logic is there. But then when we go from the vritti to the perception, the objects of perception, there's going from the subjective to the objective. And so to be able to say...
That's the same. See, now that is why it's important to understand Ishvara.
Yeah.
Because... otherwise this would be reductionism.
So, what is Swamiji mean?
I mean, the, if you simply just talk about the vritti and then that can be dismissed.
Exactly.
In fact, that is dismissed. By all the dualists, that is dismissed. And because unless the world that you deal with is purely idealism, it is idealistic. The world is idealistic means you think and therefore it is. That's not the truth. Whether you think or not, it is. And that is why you get bumps on the road, you know. And therefore, so whether you think or don't think, it is there. So that's, if that is included, that's why Ishvara we have to say. That is why I say subject and object are Brahman. That's a very beautiful thing. Why? Because there is no object outside Sat. That Sat is important. When the outside object comes, you have to add Sat. Inside, Chit is enough. Any vritti you want to resolve, Chit is enough. Consciousness is enough. When you come out, the existence is there of the object, whether you like it or not, whether you see it or not. Therefore, sight is only, if that only brings what is there into your understanding. What is already there, you come to know through your vritti. Therefore, that has got an existent thing. So we think that it is self-existent. No, that is not a reality, that is vyavaharikam. The paramarthika is the satyam of the vritti, and the satyam of the object of the vritti is one and the same. Is that easiness of consciousness.
But we know that it's one and the same through a logical progression. In other words, that I know any object here is really nothing but nama, that's infinitely divisible. It has a beginning and an end. It has no substance of its own.
We have to do that logical, that is a contemplation. In contemplation, in contemplation you use one step or two steps and then resolve. Resolve. Then afterwards you need not resolve. Consciousness is.
You need not resolve because that knowledge is taken
place. Knowledge is set. Ease is consciousness. The moment you say, see an object, ease, that's consciousness. Then ease, sat is chit. Chit is sat. That's aproksha. And the paroksha of Ishvara, a sarva vit, will always be there. But the individual, it doesn't.
It's a detailed knowledge. Right.
Swamiji, why I heard you say once, if you don't get the sat, there will not be ananda.
Okay. I mean, ananda is to take as limitless. Sat is there, then the sat is including the whole jagat, you know. So the subject object sat, satyam really makes the jump, the quantum jump from the subjectivity. The subjective resolution doesn't imply the object presence or accountability. So once sat is included, and without the sat being there, there is no sat is, then any one object you see, it is the same consciousness chit which is sat. And therefore sat is important. The external sat is important. Once the sat is recognized, then the subject and object both become one and the same, then it's called ananta. Yeah. Ananda. Yeah. And therefore whenever you go anywhere around, ananda is moving. That's how I move, didn't I? So, crucial words, Chidananda. Very important words.
Thank you so much.